The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
You're listening to the Sharks Audio Network. Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, we are now joined on the Sharks Audio Network by Ty Dellandrea. And somehow you came up the other day and I referred to you as Taco, and my wife said Taco, and I said, I think he got that from Del Taco. I was like, I might be making that up because you told me about this like last October, November. Is that true? People called you Taco from a trip and they were like, oh, we should call you Taco.
Yeah, this was back with Dallas, and Joe Pavelski and I and a few other guys were going to Del Taco, and just stuck from there. Pavs called me in, and it never left while I was there in Dallas.
Yeah, I was just talking to Timothy Liljegren, and I was saying I can't imagine anyone calls him Timothy because he's Tim, he's Timmy, he's Lily. He's Gren, or Lil Gren, if would be his rap name. Other than Taco and Deller, and I'm sure some people call you Ty, are there other nicknames we don't know of?
Deli. No, it's pretty simple. I mean, a few group of guys, they were better at golf than me in Dallas, so they would call me Deli Double because I was probably shooting worse than them for a double bogey or something. But other than that, that's just kind of a silly one.
That's fair. So let's get into it, man. Obviously, the last game was like middle of April. We're coming up on the middle of August, which is 4 months. How does the body feel? Are you rested and ready and, you know, looking forward to training camp, which gets going in about, you know, a little over a month and a half?
Yeah, body feels great. It's exciting that we're in August and time to, you know, we've been training hard all summer, but it's, you know, even more as it gets closer, just feels like the season's around the corner. So yeah, body feels great, rested, we've been working a lot, so I'm ready to get going.
How long after the season ended do you just put it in chill mode?
It took about probably close to 3 weeks, and then I was like itching to get back. I feel like that's the case for a lot of guys, is kind of miss the group of guys to go in and see every day, and your body gets just itching to move again. So it didn't take long to get back.
No, that's good. And, you know, I would imagine that last year going into the off season, relatively healthy. I mean, I'm sure by April, everything hurts. All the joints have taken a battering. You've gotten, you know, slammed into the boards in every possible position, but you know, you didn't have any surgeries. You didn't have any major injuries. I'm sure that's got to just put things in the right direction throughout the entirety of the off season.
For sure. Yeah. It was a blessing. Just able to kind of get right at it. I didn't have to take time off to rehab or do anything like that. It's just your body needs to recover a little bit, and then you can start kind of where you left off. So it's great to be able to just get right back into it.
Yeah, what is your programming like? Or did you get right back into the weight room? I know I've talked to Brett Hedekin about this, and he used to tell me that in the offseason he would work hard on actually running, because he says that those are different muscles you use when skating. He says, you know, when you're skating, your quads and your groin get blown out, but your hamstrings lag. And he said that he would try and go do other motions in addition to hockey-specific things. What's your routine like?
Yeah, for me, it was just get back in the weight room, working on putting on some size and strength, and kind of leaving skating for a bit later. So I probably took longer off the ice and just got back into the weight room to set a good base kind of for summer and get stronger. And then once you start skating, you know, can add more skates, more sessions in that way.
What do you rep on squat, by the way? I'm a meathead. I'm sure you're a professional athlete. You're stronger than me. I'm just curious because all you guys walk around with legs, or I'm like, well, he didn't skip leg day, clearly.
Yeah, it's I feel like that's kind of changed over the last few years. Now it's all like tempo reps. You're doing like 7-8 seconds down, so you can't possibly do that much weight. So I feel like maybe back in the day a bit, it was trying to just squat as heavy as you can. But now we got a bunch of good trainers. I train with Gary Roberts, has a program up here. So he's got a bunch of smart smart people, and it's a lot of like tempoed exercises, so you're kind of not reaching your max squat anyway.
Do you do sled work as well?
Yeah, there's some sled work. Yeah, a lot of sled sprints, trying to, push power, push speed.
I know that Martin St. Louis, I used to look at his videos of his off season, and I saw one clip of him where he was doing a push sled, and then the camera just pulled back, and he was also dragging a sled behind him while he was pushing. I was like, yeah, that's why he's who he is.
Yeah, he's a different breed, yeah, from what I hear.
I would imagine though that, once you're an established pro, you understand how to use your body a little bit more, and you don't have to literally kill yourself in the gym. Do you ever look back at like when you were like 16, 17, you're like, yeah, like I wouldn't do that today, but that workouts probably helped me become what I am today?
Oh, for sure, yeah. I feel like back when you were a kid was a lot of volume, a lot of just making sure you're doing something all the time, and the exercises were different. A lot of conditioning, I feel like I was doing back as a kid. Kind of look back now and you wish maybe you were doing some more strength stuff, trying to put on some size back then. But no, I mean, I guess it all got us where we are today, so.
Right. It's kind of weird though, because the modern hockey game, they're kind of sending two messages at the same time. They're like, we need you to be strong, we need you to be, powerful, but we also need you to be light and fast. And it's like, well, wait a minute, you're asking me to, they're essentially asking everyone to be a freak these days.
Yeah. I mean, the games, from what I see, is getting just faster and faster. So, you see a lot of these kind of different guys that are just skilled and fast, and they're kind of the superstars. So it's definitely changing, but it's different for every player, right? Depending on your role or your situation.
I was thinking about this because obviously you were high draft status when you came in, which by the way is 7 years ago, which is wild that your draft class was that long ago. But I'm curious, just like when you've got all these teams asking you about all your different, things that are away from the ice, when they're, looking at, different things that you can do, like a broad jump or something. Did you ever want to say or like ask anybody, like, what does this have to do with how I play?
Maybe a little bit. It's such a big part of our game nowadays, though. Strength training, being in the gym, it's really developed over the years. So everyone's doing it. If you're not, you're behind. So it's kind of became a big focus, and you see a lot of these best players on our team, around the league, guys you train with. For the most part, usually the best that are on the ice are working off the ice as well.
Yeah, no, it's interesting that whole draft process. Do you look back at that now as just kind of like, man, that was weird being under the microscope like that when your name, as well as a bunch of other 18-year-olds, everyone's trying to pick you apart with a fine-tooth comb, and that there's only so much to judge you on when you're 18 years old.
Yeah, it's crazy looking back. Someone was asking me about it the other day, and just talking about going to the combine, meeting with all these teams, kind of doing fitness testing in front of like a crowd of people and scouts and whatnot, everybody with their notebook. Just to think of what that was like was pretty crazy to look back on.
My favorite part of the combine this year was that everything is so technical and so surprise, but that when they had guys doing the broad jump, they were still using a hockey stick to measure where they got out to.
Yeah,
I was
that's
like, that's
awesome.
perfect. That's exactly what you want to see. Did you pay attention much to the draft stuff this year?
Not a ton. No, I didn't pay attention a ton. I mean, I saw we had some exciting picks as a Sharks organization. Other than the Sharks players we got, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to.
Yeah, you probably had enough of it 7 years ago. So now that you're at this point, you've been adding more sessions on the ice and such, like you alluded to. What is the process between now and when training camp starts?
Yeah, I think now during the bulk of the summer, you're working on those fine details, things you want to get better on off the ice, on the ice, more specific skills, I would say. And then as August hits, I think it's more of kind of getting the pace of play up, whether that be like more game-like situations, longer skating drills to get you into you know, not that you're out of shape, but get you in better shape for training camp in the season. So you kind of put your weight on and your strength during the bulk of it, work on those skills. And then now it seems like we're doing a lot more like practice or game like situational stuff.
Was it hard last year to kind of figure out everything that was going on in San Jose, considering you'd only been with Dallas prior to that?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was hard to figure out. It was just unique, right? Like my first time being traded, meeting new people, learning about the city, you know, where to live, all the different things that come with moving to a new place and a new team. But I thought, you know, San Jose was really easy to come into, really welcoming. So I wouldn't say it was hard. It was just different because I'd never been through that.
Yeah, no, obviously that first time when you go to a different organization. I was talking to Lily about this. How long did it take for San Jose to feel like home to you? I know you were traded in, I think, June of last year, whereas Tim's was, you know, almost a month into the season. But I'd imagine there was that a little bit of an adjustment period.
Yeah, there's a bit of an adjustment period. I can't put a date on it. I would say maybe, you know, a month or two into the season. It felt pretty quick to feel good. I think it made it better that felt like there were a lot of new pieces coming in last year. Like as a core, there's a lot of new pieces. So a lot of guys were going through it. So building relationships with guys, that's what it's all about. And once you get those underway, felt like home pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I paid attention to was just the mentality you guys had. Obviously, we talked to you after some games and, you know, we'd all be sticking the microphones in your face and you guys would have the 1,000-mile stare because you'd be ticked off. But then the next day, you know, you guys are laughing and having a good time at practice and working hard. And, you know, we always enjoyed it when we'd see Warzo out there doing the liners with you guys. And, you know, it was fostering a very good team mentality. And I imagine that's going to help this year because I know there was a lot of frustration last year, a lot of those one goal losses or one plus an empty netter where you guys were thinking we were right there. Is the mentality, you think, like turning those tight losses into tight wins this year?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, every year is different. And I think we definitely made some strides last year in finding our identity in the way we played. Like you said, we were in a lot of those games throughout the year. So, I think that's important to build off. And, you know, I think it's going to be a really different year in that sense. So we kind of, there's a foundation of guys that are coming back and there's some strong, you know, team chemistry in that way, or bonds, whatever you want to call it. But, and then adding a few key guys, it's exciting.
Yeah. Do you know any of the guys who are coming in? Have you had any crossover with them in the past?
Yeah, I played with John Klingberg in Dallas, and he was a good friend there. He was great to me, so that's super exciting. He's a phenomenal human being, teammate, and player.
Yeah, I know that Lily said he knew him a little bit and had similar things to say, and said he was, you know, a great guy, obviously a great player. So he'll be a fun addition as well. Before we run out of time, I was just running over your bio before we, you know, came in with this, and I was thinking so much of when I talk to you, it's so specifically hockey related and, you know, F1 through F3 and all these things, being on the power play or being on the kill, all these very, you know, work related things. You're from Port Perry. The only thing I know about that is that it's an hour north in terms of a drive from Toronto. What should I know about Port Perry from you being there?
Yeah, you're not the only one. That's for sure. But yeah, small town, like you said, about an hour and a bit northeast of Toronto. It's where I grew up. Family moved here when I was probably 6 or 7. So yeah, it's a small farming town, somewhat in the middle of nowhere. Port Perry's on a lake, Lake Scugog. So it's, some people call it cottage country or cabin country, depending where you're from. But yeah, it's kind of, I would say it's the start of cottage country once you go north from here. And yeah, just a small little farming town on the water.
Can you get out on the lake on like a boat when water skis or a jet ski or anything?
You could. Yeah, you could. We have a place my family does a bit north of here. So that's where we do our boating and stuff like that. But you definitely could get out here.
Nice. And then when you're not getting ready for the season, are you golfing? Are you barbecuing with the boys? What do you do to fill your time?
Yeah. Yeah. I have a big family with cousins and, and family here, my family. So hanging with them when I'm not, I like to play golf here and there with the guys. Been playing golf with Barclay Goodrow. He lives in the town over. Jack Thompson, Ethan Cardwell. They're close by too. So we like to get out and golf the odd time.
Are your cousins hockey fans?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I'm sure they are. They're probably Leafs fans would be my guess, or I think I know that. So, but yeah, they're hockey fans. They grew up playing as well, and they got little kids now, so it's fun to have them cheer me on and go to their baseball games or soccer games. It's a blast.
I know Mario has told me that, like, when it's around like trade deadline time, he says that a bunch of his boys who are also Leafs fans will start texting him, like, "Hey, is this true?" And he's like, "Guys, I'm looking at it just the same as you are. Do you get those texts as well?"
Yeah, I haven't got a lot of those trade deadline ones, but yeah, there's a lot of loyal Toronto fans around here.
Nice. Well, Deller, I will let you go, man. Before I do, though, what's the plan? When do you get into town?
I'm gonna come back early-ish September, get back a bit early and start being around the guys, hang with the guys, get settled in, and be ready to go.
Nice, man. Well, I'll let you go. I appreciate your time as always, and I look forward to bugging you for more interviews once you get back in town. All right, man.
Can't wait. Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.